فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. الحمد لله. Out of the mercy and love and kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are once able again to meet, and we are able to congregate with one thing in mind, with this in hope that inshallah we can change who we are and can become better individuals. Throughout life, you will notice many of us make many different pledges. I always like to use the 27 night example, where people come into the masjid and they put the lights on, and as if they are now making a pledge to themselves, and when you talk to them, they make this pledge: from now on, my life is going to be different. From now on, whatever I heard in the prayers, in the dua, that's it, I'm going to make it a reality. From now on, everything is going to change. There are many people that I meet. I love meeting people that come from overseas, especially in the beginning, because the pattern of conversation is the same. So now that you're in America, what are you going to do? I'm going to make money, I'm going to work hard, I'm going to be like overseas, I'm going to pray a lot, and I'm going to send money back to my family. And I'm going to help them out, and I'm going to wish them all the best. So that's the pledge they made before they came. And each one, even those of you that are not from abroad, when you were a young baby, a young child, what did you say? Daddy, when I grow up, I'm going to buy you that home over there. And your mom looks at something, mommy, when I get money, I'm going to buy you that car over there. We all make those pledges, we all make those promises, we all make those statements. Why is it when we become rational adults, rationally I'm referring to, one is someone who's 18, one say 21, I'll say 40 and 45. I hope by 40, 45 you are fully developed. I would hope. Nowadays with video games, I'm a little bit afraid to say, even that comes to a question now and then, whether our 40 or 45 year old folks are fully developed, but we leave that for you to evaluate. Why is it later in life that promise is never carried out? That pledge is never fulfilled? We never make it to our pinnacle point that we have promised ourselves to be, whether it is spiritual, whether it is religious, whether it is secular, whether it is athletics, you name it. I meet so many young boys, so many of them. I'm going to make it as this, and I'm going to make it. My friend, go and study. No, I got to play so many hours a day, and I know I'm going to be a champ. My friend, you're not going to be a champ. How can you say that, Imam? I can tell that to you. What time do you get up? Well, today I got up 10 o'clock. That's it, you're never going to make it. No person that is successful in life ever gets up 10 o'clock in the morning, historically. It just doesn't happen. It just does not happen. That is why the ulama, imagine how deep the ulama were and are. After Fajr Salah, you don't go to bed. Because the most tempting thing is to go, when I say don't go to bed, I don't mean it's haram to go to bed. When you say don't go to bed, it's not preferred. And today's time, we are lucky to be able to perform the Fajr Salah. What's the idea after Fajr Salah? The idea of Fajr Salah after that is to do what? To sit, preferably, and make adhkar. Ask those people that read Quran after Fajr, how good they feel throughout the day. It's like they accomplished something. They feel good about, they can't even tell you why they feel good, but they feel good about something. Yes, because the hadith says,
One of the things you must try and do after the Fajr Salah is sit on that spot and make adhkar. Try to detox yourself from the negative things. Try to plan your day ahead. So you, thereafter, the sun rises. After the sun rises, after, you read what is known as the Ishraq Salah. Now, we have some guests here. And I get this question all the time. So do Muslims believe in the moon god and the sun god? I'm like, what are you talking about? Do you worship the sun? Do you worship the moon? See, what happened was, I'm sure some historian was traveling through the Middle East or somewhere, and he saw the people praying after the sun rises, and he thinks they are worshipping the sun. And he probably saw somebody looking for the moon, because that's how we start our month and end our month, and he probably thought, wow, they are worshipping the moon. We're not worshipping the moon or sun. We use the moon and the sun to gain our higher level of spirituality. Just like we use good company for a higher level of spirituality. Just as we use good food, healthy food that we put in our bodies. كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. So we can do good things with that food. So again, coming back to that first question that we've started off with, why is it that our pledges are not made into reality? Why is it that instead of becoming successful and happy, we are becoming older and more miserable? Why is it that when we made a pledge, when we were young, I will pray more, or when Allah takes me to America, then definitely I will go to the masjid. I won't be like people back home, even bigger than people back home. They don't even pray in America. We make all these statements. But how come it never becomes a reality? Now let me share with you a story that has been made mention by Jalaluddin Rumi. Now it's not an issue whether the story is sahih or da'if. It's nothing to do with that. Stories are not sahih and da'if. Right? Some people will say, well, where is this in the Quran? Where is it in the Hadith? It's a story to create understanding. Allah in the Quran says, for example, وَإِنَّا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَمُهْتَدُونَ. Number one, you'll notice that the reason for my failure and your failure in life is because, and I want this thing to penetrate into our heads, when we made the pledge to be this wonderful boy and wonderful girl and helpful to my mother and helpful to my father and be the most religious and I'm going to donate to all the masjids and I'm going to build many masjids, all these pledges that we made, whether we made it or our fathers made it, imagine a man who gives money to masjids is never happy in his life. Imagine if a man is supporting Islamic projects and is hanging out in Vegas. There is something wrong. There is something wrong. Al-khabithatu lil-khabithina wal-khabithuna lil-khabithat wat-tayyibuna lit-tayyibina wat-tayyibuna lit-tayyibat. Good and bad, according to this ayah, does not go hand in hand. They don't do it. Because when they made the pledge to do good, they did not include Allah in that pledge. Simple. And when you don't include Allah in your pledge, then you become the agent of shaitan. It's either Allah, it's either Rahman or shaitan. There is no two ways. So there was this man, he made a pledge. He says, oh Allah, from now on I'm not going to work. From now on I'm just going to sit and pray and remember you. That's what he said. And I'm not even going to go to the tree and break the fruit from the tree. Whatever the winds hit and drop and falls, I will just pick that up. I will become your total servant. Whatever comes my way, I will accept. If it's simple food, it's simplicity. If it's simple clothing, it's simple clothing. And if I ever feel hungry, whatever you give, I'm going to accept. I'm not going to demand. I'm not even going to say, oh Allah, give me. I'm just going to keep quiet. I'm going to accept. And he began his life. In the beginning, it was easy. And things were coming his way. Food was found. People may drop by and give him clothing. And he would accept it. They were giving it. He wasn't asking for it. So it wasn't a problem. Anyway, There came a time where all of a sudden the food was not coming. And he began rolling in hunger. Clothes were getting more and more patchy. But he was enduring. But he was feeling the cold. The rain, when it used to fall, all of a sudden, there was not much protection under the tree. The trees were even becoming bare. And don't tell me because the seasons were changing. That was not necessarily the case. So all the comfort in that poverty that he was going through now was not, he could not endure it. One day, there were a group of thieves that were coming. And they were at the bottom of the mountain, and someone said, you know, the person who stole all that money, he's hiding in that given place. That's what they said. Police came, looked around, they couldn't find the thieves, so they found this guy. So when they found this guy, they took him, and they said, you don't have proof as to where you were at a certain time. That's it. You are going to be punished. And back then, when a person stole, when you look at the books of fiqh, what they would do, and of course there is difference of opinion, some say cut the hand, some say cut the legs, whatever it is. And there is one opinion that says you must cut the right hand and the left leg, or you cut a hand and a leg. One hand was cut, one leg was cut. Anyway, that will teach him a lesson. He will not steal. He went back to his place and he began living his life. There was a traveler that was going by, and this traveler happened to recognize this fellow and said, this is a very big sheikh. He's a very big sheikh. What happened to you, sheikh? Well, they cut my hand, they cut my leg because they thought I was a thief, but I wasn't a thief. This fellow, the traveler, went to the local police station and said, what you guys did was wrong. This guy is not a thief. He's a very big saint. He's a very big sheikh. And in this book, Jalaluddin continues, Rumi continues mentioning that the police chief came, asked him for forgiveness, and said, Sheikh, I'm very, very sorry I hurt you. I'm very, very sorry. And look at his response. And this guy says, I'm afraid you are not wrong in punishing me. Imagine, in today's time, you know, there are people out here that I've met that actually wait for somebody to hit the car. They actually wait. I ask this fellow, why are you saying, I just wish somebody hits my car. I just wish when I go to a store something falls on my head. I say, why do you talk this way? He says, Imam, that's how I can make $1 million. One fellow even said, I don't know why that guy is getting 500,000 from a settlement. I should be getting it. That's how we think. That's how our society thinks. We are waiting for free money. And statistically, anybody that gets free money, when you look at the statistics on people that get wealth, generally the wealth goes away very fast. What is it? Easy come, easy go. So anyway, the sheriff said, look, when they punished me, I did not look at it as punishment that was right or wrong. I looked at it as, what wrong did I do in my life in the past? You know, when I was young, I got a speeding ticket, right? So I went home. I wasn't very happy. But my dad said something very nice. He said, look, son, let me tell you something. How many times did you break the law? First answer is, I don't break the law. He says, come on. How many times did you drive without a seatbelt? Many times. Did you get a ticket? No. How many times did you go over the speed limit? Many times. Did you get a ticket? No. How many times did you do things that were wrong on the road? Well, now that I think about it, many times. Did you get a ticket? No. So just think that all the times you violated the commands of the police, you did not get a ticket. And today, one time you get a ticket, you're crying. He says, if you are a businessman, you'll say, I already saved thousands of dollars. You know, there's a fellow that's going from Utah to California, and he was coming back. I said, how was your trip? He says, Imam, on this trip I made $5,000. I said, really? Show me the money. He says, so many times the police didn't stop me, the guy in front got caught. So the point I'm trying to make here Is this Sheikh? What is he saying? He says, so many times I did wrong, and Allah did not punish me. And the one time that I did wrong, what was the wrong? I made a pledge that I will depend on my Allah. I made a promise, whatever Allah gives me, I will accept. There came a time when I was not accepting of my situation. There came a time when I was complaining that why? Why is the food not coming? Why is the water not coming? Why is this not coming? Why is that not coming? So Allah, to put me right, He sent the police officer. Yes, it was a wrongful case, but He punished me to get me to realize that I must now put my life right. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, each one of us are going through something. As I've always said, it doesn't matter what you are going through. What matters is if you are going to change as a result of what you are going through. If you change as a result of what you are going through, that difficulty you are going through is well worth it. But I'm afraid if you continue doing that wrong and your life does not change, then that challenge you are going through is a loss. And I'm afraid down the line, instead of you becoming more successful, you are going to go through that same narrow tunnel that you've been going through many years. And what did the Sheikh say? What did he learn? He says, I learned one thing from this whole thing. When I want to do good, and this takes us to the beginning of when I began this talk, you made a pledge. When I grow old, I'm going to help my daddy. When I grow old, I'm going to help my mummy. When I get to be older, I'm going to give my mummy this, and I'm going to give my daddy that. And I'm going to be nice. I'm not going to be like others. I'm going to respect my mom and dad. I'm not going to be like others. I want to be honest when I go to work. I'm not going to be like others. I'm not going to cheat on my exam. But you didn't say one thing. You didn't say, inshallah. And when do we say inshallah? When you're doing something haram. When the young boys see a pretty girl, inshallah, I'm going to get that. And somebody finds them a nice girl to get married to, they don't say, inshallah, Sheikh, I don't know if I should go that way or not. Amazing. When something halal comes your way, you don't know. When something haram comes your way, you say, inshallah. When you're taking part in a business deal, you don't say, inshallah, it'll go through. When you go to Vegas and you put your money in the gambling machine, inshallah, I'm going to win. And what does the ulama say? When you say, inshallah, in something haram, according to some ulama, not all, you become a kafir. When you drink and you say, inshallah, I'm going to feel good, you become a kafir. But Allah is not part of a haram transaction. So the Sheikh says, I learned one thing in life. That when I said, I want Allah to help me, when I said, I'm not going to work from now on, and I will wait for Allah to give me what I want, I should have said, inshallah, if Allah wills, then I will get whatever Allah wishes to get me. He says, if I just did this, my hand would have been saved, my leg would have been saved, and I would have lived a life with respect and dignity. So my brothers in Islam, if you are going through a rough patch in life, ask yourself one question. What did I do wrong? If you are having a challenge with your business or your children, ask yourself, what did I do wrong? If you have an issue with your schooling, ask yourself, what did I do wrong? Put that wrong into a right, number one, and bring Allah into the equation by saying, inshallah, from now I'm going to study harder. From now I'm going to be more good to my parents. From now I'm going to be more honest. From now I'm going to depend on what Allah wants me to depend. And inshallah, if we did that, then the story that I've read to you from Jalaluddin Rumi, inshallah, will become something that will change our lives. These stories are not just stories, but rather they are things to make us, inshallah, into better individuals. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us at all times.